Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 420 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host from the East Coast. And with me is my good friend on the West Coast, Sam Malai. Sam, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
One thing to be grateful for, and that's to God.
Yeah. And all things considered, what the what we're going through these days, you know, I'm looking at, I've friends in the Tampa area, and they've got hurricane bearing down on them. And my son went to school in Asheville, North Carolina. The house that he lived in is no longer there. So had he been still at school, he'd have been at real serious risk. So, you know, you're right. Thank God we're here and be able to do this on a day like today.
And we send our prayers to anybody who's affected. And I know it's an ongoing thing. Hoping for the best, and hopefully everybody stays safe. You know, this whole thing that's happening right now is, I think, is a result of humans not thinking about the future and just being very short-term sighted. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, it takes wake-up calls to remind us, no, we need to be very mindful of how we consume things and what we do with our actions. So that
unfortunately, I think we hit the snooze button way too often, because this wake-up call has been coming in many iterations.
Yeah, just hope our government and our politicians actually do something about it. And obviously it takes also people to make some changes in their lives to for this not to happen.
For sure. But I don't think people tuned in to listen to you and I pontificate about the state of the world today. What are we going to talk about today, Sam?
Why most lawyers fail to scale. And this is supposed to be an uplifting episode, because the five points that we're going to share with you should give you red flags and, you know, ask yourself, am I crossing any of these red flags? And if so, hopefully today is a pivotal day to be able to make some big pivots in your life. So let's start off with the first one. The most common thing that I see, and the reason why most lawyers fail to scale, is copying others instead of leading. I feel super passionate about this, Neil, because I've been dealing with this hardcore. I cannot count how many times I've been copied throughout the years, and the pace of it, especially in the last 6 months, has really, really picked up on a weekly to almost daily basis. Just everybody just basically just copying other people. And instead of leading, instead of, you know, entering new niches, doing new things, everybody just, the easy recipe is just to copy what other people are doing successfully. And I assure you, it's a short-term game plan. Yes, you could get some results, but if you're going to be constantly following other people, and you're not going to have the competitive advantage and the huge upsides that the leaders have. Everything that I try to do, Neil, I try to lead. I try to be the first one to enter the space, to try to be the first person to apply this new tactic. And that is my competitive advantage. And that's what gives me the upside. So, you know, I don't see it as a sustainable move. Neil, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, you know, this has been going on for a long, long time, you know, as long as I've been doing the podcast, for certain. And there's a certain school of thought that says, you know, why reinvent the wheel? And so find somebody who's doing what you want to do and is having the success that you want to have, and then just mimic what they're doing. Now, as you said, to a degree that works, but I think where people fall down a lot is they don't analyze very well what it is that they want and to what degree the person they're following or the system that they're following is geared to produce that. I mean, first off, you got to have to ask yourself, do you want to scale? Is that really what you want? And if so, what type of scaling are we talking about? And how does, you know, system or this individual that you're looking at, how does that correlate with your objective? Because I think what you're going to find a lot of times is that, okay, I can follow this system, but and it's going to produce results, but those really aren't the results that I really was looking for. I jumped too quickly into following this person. And so you dump that approach and you follow somebody else. And basically what you just have is, you know, an effort of spinning in circles, trying to figure out who you can copy and get unique results from. And I think that's kind of almost a fool's errand.
It really is. And I think it comes down to thinking outside the box. that, you know, entering new territories and doing new things that nobody has ever done before. My principle when it comes to this, Neil, is I read Elon Musk's biography, amazing book, by the way, and he shares in the book the first principles thinking. And I quickly ChatGPT'd what first principles thinking is, and I'll share it with our audience. It's a foundational approach that Elon Musk uses to solve complex problems. First principles thinking is a method of reasoning that involves breaking down a problem into its most basic fundamental truths and then building back up from there without relying on assumptions or analogies. And here's how it works. Number one is we want to identify and question assumptions. Okay, most people reason by analogy, basing decisions on prior experiences or established methods, right? This is key, right? We just don't assume whatever has been is the way that it should be. Musk encourages questioning everything, including what everyone else accepts as true. Step number two is break the problem down. Once the assumptions are stripped away, break the issue down to its most fundamental components, the first principles. These are the basic undeniable truths that serve as the foundation of understanding. Basically, for this is like you're not limited by anything. I think famously says that the only limitations you have is basically Newton's law. Everything else could be worked out. And number three is rebuilding from the ground up. With problems broken down, you can begin reconstructing it in a novel way based on the first principles rather than relying on what's been done before. So think from the ground up. You have unlimited ways to be able to do it. Don't worry about how. We'll figure out the how. But if this was the most ideal way to serve my clients or build the system that I need to be able to serve my clients at a higher level, what would that look like? And you build towards it, not based on what tools are already out there, what's already what other people are doing, things like that. That's where disruption happens. That's where there's upsides. And that's what makes you stand out from the crowd. And that's what gives you the competitive advantage for you to really be the 1% that gets 99% of the results.
Yeah, that's where the opportunity lies, isn't it? It's in that innovation. It's in that recognition that doing something different is going to be the pathway to better serve a unique client set.
Let's go to point number two. Why most lawyers fail to scale is being a perfectionist. Us lawyers, we love getting it right and getting a spot on, right? Every little thing has to, every dot and every I, everything has to be there spot on before you go and share it with the world. My principle is done is better than perfect. If people who've been following us for some time know, that's like one of our major principles, so much so that I'm actually writing a book on this right now as you speak, Neil. I'm super excited. I don't know if I've talked about it too much in our podcast, writing a book called Done is Better Than Perfect, hoping for Q1 2025 to be released. I feel super heated about this because I know it's a principle that anybody can adopt to be able to make big changes in their life and for them to get the result that they really need. And that's the one thing I think that's holding most people back, just being a perfectionist and just being too focused on like, you know, it's not ready. No, it's ready. You want to put it out there, share it with the world. And then on the back end, your actions will lead to the results to give you the guidance about what you should do next versus when it's not shared with the world, you have no idea. Right? What's going to happen? So the best thing is just share it, just do it. And you know, you want to focus on progress. So yeah, perfect. Yeah. Let's not be a perfectionist.
You know, James Clear talks about in his book, Atomic Habits, about making small incremental steps towards improvement. And that over the course of time, if you make these incremental steps, you know, every day, 365 days out of the year, you're going to have dramatic growth and improvement at the end of that year. And it just seems, I mean, it's self-obvious, right? The hard thing for folks to do is to accept what does small incremental improvement, what does progress really mean? And I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, I'm guilty of this myself. I wanted to start doing video content marketing for a long time. And I spent, you know, weeks, months, years acquiring the equipment, the setup, the planning, the approach. And I finally got down to the last thing that had to happen for me to get started doing my video marketing was for me to lose that damn 10 pounds, right? That didn't happen. And I kept delaying the start of my video content marketing approach. And it was only when I finally bit the bullet and said, to hell with it, it is what it is, jump out there, step off that gangplank, and get some video out there, turn my life around, really, in terms of the success of my law firm.
Sure. And whenever you're looking to do something, have in mind the principle of law of diminishing returns. Usually, the fact that you just show up or the fact that you just do it is usually about 50 to 80% of the result or the output that you're seeking. The rest, the optimizations, the improvement, yeah, things like that, is just the remaining last 20%. So it's much better to just get that 80%. Even if you don't get the rest, the 20%, great. You get your 80% here, another 80% here, another 80% here, and that adds up. All of a sudden, you have 10, 80%. That's 800 versus, you know, maybe 90 here and maybe 20% here, and that doesn't really add up. So just, you know, take every step to add on as many 80% as you can, and don't worry about trying to make it a 99%. By the time you're trying to do that, you're probably missed out on the other five other opportunities that you could get up to 80%.
Indeed.
All right. Number three, not hiring fast enough, right? Or not having urgency in delegating, basically. I have very close friends. We're all looking to grow, but I have some certain friends who have trouble hiring because they're too busy. And my mindset whenever I have this conversation with them is, well, you're not prioritizing hiring. I know you got stuff going on. I know you got court cases and clients to deal with. But you need to block out the first hour of the day, the first 2 hours of the day, to go focus on hiring. And until you do that, you're never going to be able to grow to the next level. And so if you feel tight with a lot of work, usually the first easiest solution is that you need to replace the work that you're doing by delegating. And again, prioritizing hiring with a high sense of urgency. Not saying, I would like to hire this month. Say, I would like to hire this week. And it's totally possible. We do literally dozens of hires a week. And, you know, now it's all systematized. But it's all like, once we create the plan that we're looking to grow to this number, we make those hires that day, that week. We're not waiting to say, this month we're looking to hire. There's no such thing as hiring this month. We're just hiring that week or that day. So have some urgency in your hires.
Yeah, and you've spoken about this on previous episodes, Sam. That whole notion of hire slow and fire fast, I don't agree with either. I think the better approach here, as you're stating, is prioritize hiring. And if you've got some hesitancy about it, then prioritize hiring a VA. Okay? I think a lot of attorneys want to get to the point where they have, you know, excess revenue, and they know they can hire an associate as a full-time basis, and that's going to allow them to grow and scale. And the problem is that they never can create that surplus because they're always working so hard and their time is limited. And so if you can't jump in with both feet, dip your toe in by hiring a VA and just take one task off your plate. And then next week, take another task off your plate with another VA. And just as you've said in the past, you know, you can whittle that down to where now you're actually having the staffing that can address problems that will allow you to scale.
Yeah, I've noticed some symptoms, Neil. Number one is having trust issues.
Yeah.
Trust is here all the time.
All the time.
Number two is being too frugal. I literally just had a conversation yesterday, and it's straight up. I could tell based on, 30 years I've been working. I work only, the only person on my team is my wife. I already got signs. I'm like, why don't you have other people on your team? And then straight up, expressly shared, I'm too frugal. Well, it's kind of hard to grow if you're frugal. It's okay to be mindful, but not frugal. And when it comes to business, you could be frugal in other things, but not when it comes to business. And this morning, I put up a Facebook status post. By the way, if you're not following me, let's be Facebook friends. Sam Malai, look me up. And I posted, the easiest way to lose your employees is by micromanaging them. Control stifles talent. Trust unleashes it. Okay? Control stifles talent and trust unleashes it. When I got into the whole world of virtual assistants, to get into the right frame of mindset, how am I going to trust these people that I don't know who they are, what their background is, and how am I going to trust them with my passwords, with my credit cards, with different things. And I learned, one of the things that I principles that I learned is that the more you trust people, the more trust that they give you back. Just like in a good relationship, you want to give first, then you receive. If you're kind of on the fence, your tone and the way you treat people is very tense, people are going to be tense with you. But instead, if you trust them, hey, I trust you with this. I have confidence in you. And I know you're going to do great. And you give good, positive affirmation. And you actually back it up by action. Then I've seen in my experience, that is reciprocated back to you. Luckily, I can assure you, I haven't had any issues, any trust issues with my team. Thank God no password has been stolen, a credit card, any of that. Because I think because I have a very proactive approach, I trust my team. And that trust is related back to me.
But you do one other thing, though, too, Sam, which shouldn't be overlooked, is you trust, but you also have systems in place to verify and manage. So it's not like you turn the keys of the kingdom over to somebody and you can put your blinders on and walk away from it, not have to monitor it at all. That's the quickest way to a financial problem and maybe even a problem with bar counsel. So, you know, you can't be ignorant of possibilities. Mindful, sure. But if you, as you said, if you micromanage employees and if you show just by your actions that you really don't trust them, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for.
Absolutely. And the caliber of people that you also bring on also matters, right, Neil? We're going to be talking about this in the next episode, you know, is the people that you hire. You better want to be friends with them, because if you don't have that level of respect that you like want to be personal friends with them, then you're not going to get along with them. Then it can be hard to grow with them. Then you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to trust them and all these other intangible factors that you need to be able to grow together. So yeah, no, we'll go into this a little bit deeper in the next episode. Number four, lacking urgency. Neil, one of our slogans for My Legal Academy is work smart, scale fast, enjoy life. And it's super short and straight to the point, but every word, every part of that is there intentionally. So work smart, right? We want anybody can work hard, but we never said work hard because that's not the goal. We want everybody to work smart. That means, you know, do the least for the most amount of output. Number two, we want everybody to scale fast. We didn't say grow fast. We want everybody ideally to scale. Scale just means that you're able to grow exponentially. So we want, and not just scale, but we want you to scale fast, as quick as possible. And this fast word is something that I've noticed a lot of people are missing, the lack of urgency in what they do. Everybody has a wish list. Everybody has a list of things that they got to do, but they're just missing one core thing. That urgency, Neil, really matters. And like your life depends on it. And you know, a lot of people who haven't grown, they just don't. They're just missing that last part. And it just kills me. Because whenever I hear it, it's like, oh, we'd like to do that. I'm like, how long have you been trying to do this? Oh, it's been some time. I'm like, why? You know, if I was in your shoes, I would have got this done this week. But by the time you tell me that, I'm already texting people and sending Slack messages to get it done. So don't ever forget that. If again, I highly recommend, maybe I'll share one of these affirmation. I turn this slogan into an affirmation. And I'll share in Lawyer Club. It's called, I work smart, I scale fast, I enjoy life. I literally look at it on a daily basis and it helps me embody this idea and this urgency. And it really does make a big difference.
Don't gloss over that last point though, Sam.
Oh yeah. That's a good one too. We'll dedicate the life episode on that too. Enjoying life.
It's there for a reason.
Yep. That's the, you know, ultimate goal is to enjoy life and, you know, have meaning in our life and have built good relationships. Number five. Not taking enough risks. Neil, how do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I think this is really the key. I really can boil down everything we've said thus far to this point, because lawyers, by their very nature, are risk averse. And, you know, it's funny, some of the biggest decisions I made in my life regarding my practice, I made with very little thought. Okay. I literally walked off that gangplank and jumped into the ocean and got started and figured out how it was going to work, you know, once I was in the water. You know, that's a big risk. And if I waited for conditions to be perfect, I never would have taken that step. And I think that comes for me, that comes from the fact that I had a pretty significant business background before I became an attorney. Attorneys, by their general nature, because of the work we do, we're risk averse. You know, you don't want to take a risk, particularly when it comes to your client, you know, life, or your client's business, your client's home. So we're conditioned not to take risks. But as a result, we don't make progress from a business standpoint because everything involves, to some extent, some risk. Now, you learn to mitigate it and you learn to minimize it as best you can. But you have to get that mindset that I'm willing to take the risk. And if it doesn't work out, you know, I'll change my approach and try something else. But I got to keep moving. I got to keep progressing, or at least attempting to progress.
Neil, I feel like God wants you to take risks. Because why? Because God took a risk on us. Right? Okay. He didn't have to. He could have been chilling, you know, enjoying himself. But no, he took a risk on us. And, you know, it could have been this. It could have gone this way and that way. And we're still, you know, as humanity, we're still struggling, but he took a risk on us to even also bring us into this world. Well, maybe we want to emulate God and take some risk. And obviously, life is short too. So, you know, life is kind of boring if you're just, you know, cruising by. My first experience at risk was in poker games, home poker games. And something that I started when I was from like 15, 16 years old, I started playing with my friends. And over time, once you play weekly for years and almost like decades of playing, I noticed different people's personality comes out in a game. So if somebody is very risk averse, they play very conservatively. Somebody, you know, takes a lot of risk, they play a different way. And over time, I started picking out clues. Well, these types of players, after 5 years of playing with them, these people take risks and they're usually the winners. And then there's this guy who's always conservative and usually is losing money. So I kind of noticed that was kind of like my first light bulbs coming off. But, you know, life rewards people who take risks. However, Neil, go ahead.
But you also mentioned something a couple of episodes back about, you know, not taking or taking uneducated risks. And the key is that you need to educate yourself about the problem you're trying to address so that the risk that you take is understood and can be quantified in your mind, because that's going to allow you the freedom to take that first step. So educate yourself about the challenge and then determine what risk is you're willing to take.
Great point. Yes, you got to know what to take risks on, right? There's a gradient. Mm-hmm. And that's dependent on, as Neil shared, what you know. So if there's something that you know more than others, that's where you should take more risk. But if it's something that you know less than others, you should take less risk. So, you know, we had a couple episodes ago, we talked about Bitcoin. Well, if you haven't, your knowledge isn't deep enough, then that's when you want to be more risk averse, be more conservative, and maybe not go all in on it. And as you, over time, as you pick up knowledge and information and experience from it, then slowly, slowly you build up your risk towards that subject matter. So ask yourself, what do I know best? Well, I hope as a law firm owner, you know your business, you know your market. And if so, that's your competitive advantage to take more risks in that, because somebody who cares about self-development, which I know, I assure you, 99% of our listeners cares about getting better every day, or else they wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You know more than other people who are the type who don't listen to this podcast. So if so, you're somebody who should lean in towards risk, take more risks, hire that vendor, hire that, you know, do that marketing thing that you've been sitting on. Hire that person that you didn't know whether you should hire or not because you can't afford it. Take more risks. You know, whatever you've been kind of holding up on, I hope this is right away after you listen to this podcast, please send that text to get that moving forward. Take more risks.
Yeah, let me tie that back to something, again, that you said a few episodes ago having to do with intake. You know, so many attorneys that I interface with tell me, well, I can't trust, you know, the initial consult with a prospective client to somebody else because nobody understands my practice. Nobody understands that area of law better than I do. And I want my face to be the face of the firm. And so I'm not going to take a risk and have somebody else do that. Well, I've now come around to believing that you can manage that. Having listened to you, Sam, for a while, that's kind of that hero mentality. And I had to educate myself to understand what you meant in terms of that being a major anchor, a major impasse to being able to grow. And you know, I had to take some action there. I had to take some risk. And it's not comfortable, but I'm going to mitigate that risk as best I can. And we're going to embark down, we are embarking down that path. So you can try to relate this to some practical items that we've talked about in the past. And I think risk is, you know, permeates all of them.
Totally. Neil, you're a perfect case study for somebody I know who's a little bit more risk averse, but who took that leap of faith and now you're reaping the rewards. So I'm super glad to hear that. So to summarize why most lawyers fail to scale, number one is copying others. Don't copy others. Lead the way because that will be your competitive advantage. And a shout out to people who have copied things that I do. I'm telling you, it's a dead end. Number two, don't be a perfectionist. Done is better than perfect. And if that's something that intrigues you, please be on the lookout for the book that I'll be writing on this exact topic called Done is Better Than Perfect, coming hopefully Q1 2025. Number three, not hiring fast enough. Have some urgency when it comes to hiring. Don't wait on it. Number four, have urgency in everything that you do, like your life depends on it. And number five, take more risk because the biggest risk is not taking a risk. Neil, I have some good news to share with you live.
What's that?
Our team pulled out our stats for this podcast. And last month, we reached 4,000 downloads, which is amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, because back in March, we were less than 500 downloads. And now we're at 4,000. So we 8x within 6 months or so, which is amazing. And we're almost back to where we were in October 2023, which is 5,000. So I think one or two more months, we'll get there. But I encourage our listeners, the more that we record this, literally every time that I finish recording these, my friends ask, oh, how's my podcast and all this stuff going? I'm like, it's going amazing. And honestly, the people who are listening in have a huge competitive advantage. Please, I encourage you, if you can, please, we put a lot of time and effort and thought into everything that we share with you. Please take a moment to share this episode with at least one other person that you think will get value from this. We appreciate you. We have a super interesting and super valuable next episode. So make sure to tune in. Thank you, and we'll see you
next time.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.